SiriusXM Sports presents At the Races with Steve Bick. Horse racing, handicapping, interviews. This is At the Races with Steve Bick.
Very good Tuesday, race fans. Sirius 219, XM 201, Sports Zone 964, if you're listening to Sirius XM online. And at our website, too, stevebick.com. And the week began with the new landscape. And a lot of people excited by Will Rogers Downs. Fonner and Will Rogers, but Will Rogers with a mammoth, just a almost at this point predictable, gigantic handle. And it really goes to show the concentration of attention and what, you know, what its potential is. $3 million in handle at Will Rogers yesterday. quite something. And, it's funny how a circumstance will make people, you know, look at things and be appreciative of something that they never really paid any attention to. And this is really the case with Fonner and with Will Rogers. Last week, we kind of concentrated with the visit from Chris Katulak, and I haven't had a chance to really should reach out to Mary Rampolini and get her, you know, background and perspective for Will Rogers. And of course, the season's going to, you know, transition toward, you know, toward Remington and Lone Star, you know, the circuit in the Oklahoma, you know, Texas region. But people are almost amused that they're looking at this, you know, at this signal and, you know, learning how to approach it and learning the you know, sets of connections that are involved. It's kind of funny. And the Fonner pick five that we talked about, the Dinsdale Auto Group, and getting more publicity than they could have possibly have imagined, up to now 225,000. And as we said to Katulak last week, that's going to be the, certainly a focus, as it goes forward. They've got several weeks left, and, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday belonging to, Will Rogers and Fonner. We're going to talk about one of the other signals that is going to continue. Mike Lakow is going to join us later in the hour from Gulfstream, and very eager to talk to Mike, not just to congratulate and do a wrap up on the winter season at Gulfstream, but Mike dealing with a unique, I guess, opportunity or a unforeseen number of horses staying in South Florida, you know, past April 1st, essentially. And typically when you get to Florida Derby Day, you know, even with Gulfstream running, you know, virtually year round, still, everybody breaks camp and starts to send their horses to Kentucky, and and points north in New York and Mid-Atlantic and so forth. But with everybody, you know, more or less encamped, we'll talk to Mike about how he's going to handle how it'll affect his condition book, because obviously the horses that are typically around starting in April, there's a lot more, there's going to be a lot more premium bloodstock that is staying in South Florida. So we'll see how Mike's going to handle it. We're going to talk after the first break to Chaplain Humberto Chavez in New York, and to a wider audience, the story that the New York Communications Department sent out about Humberto. It might be new to some people, and you know, those of us in New York that have had dealings with you know, all the different teams that support the backstretch community, most often from the chaplaincy with me, you've heard from Nick Karras, and Nick is the guy that I've known the best for the longest, and you know, literally 20 years. And you know, Nick is sort of the field coordinator for the chaplaincy, and it just hustles nonstop. Well, Humberto Chavez is been the chaplain in New York for over 15 years and is the kind of leader that it just can't be, it can't be acknowledged enough what his calm and his, you know, professional and emotional leadership represents to the backstretch community in New York. And we'll talk about the challenges that they're facing. And as I mentioned last week, we wanted to, you know, get these voices heard and have everybody out in the industry understand, you know, how they can help and support this kind of work. And it's 24/7, 7 days a week, in the best of conditions. The chaplaincy, and their team, you know, they deal with substance abuses, they deal with child care, they deal with virtually everything that any religious outpost and support station offers. This is a scenario that is a further burden, and you know, one that you know, certainly I mean, as unwelcome as all this has been, it's something that Humberto Chavez is seemingly just perfectly suited, and want to talk about, you know, I mean, how about the backstretch workers, you know, that are, you know, constantly sending money home to families, and you know, how are they, you know, how are they dealing, and you know, the restrictions and you know, what's been cut off to them, and how everybody is faring. And you know, there's been obviously some illness, and so, you know, having to care for those that are, you know, trying to recover, you know, without full medical attention, you know, some that are dealing with minor symptoms, et cetera. So Humberto will join us and talk about the mission and how everybody can help. So in this hour, Humberto Chavez and Mike Lakow. And later, hour three, Andy Serling. And of course, Andy on Friday and Saturday with the Fox Sports 1 broadcast. There's some uncertainty as to how much, you know, how much television is going to be possible in coming weeks, especially with the situation at Santa Anita. There was no update as of yesterday. As I mentioned yesterday, it's apparent that the grotesque animal rights people, it so offended them that Santa Anita able to stay open and keep some lifelines of commerce running. The sickness involved in these people is stunning. Just disgusting. And that's who felt compelled to go to the Los Angeles County Health Department and move them to stop Santa Anita from continuing to race, hurting no one. Hoping that there's progress on this front, but it doesn't seem as hopeful as it did over the weekend. But we'll take a wait and see. Golden Gate, in the meantime, continues, as does Los Al. And in fact, there was some, really should reach out to Steve Anderson the next couple of days. A big weekend at Los Al on the quarter horse front. A couple of stakes. And we should probably incorporate a little bit of that with Steve. Steve, for those of you at reading DRF.com, Steve, who heavily vested in virtually every equine sport around the world, whether it's the steeplechase, whether it's quarter horse, he loves it all. And he Hong Kong he's covering, and Steve Anderson, your conduit to other divisions of racing interest. I can't recommend Steve heartily enough. But Andy will join us, and we'll talk about the weekend, get his impressions of some of the wacky jockey hijinks that went on. Andy leading the chorus of and. Andy, a big Rosario fan, but certainly Andy, no rider is immune to Andy's perspective of how they're handling things. Todd Pletcher is going to join us in hour three as well, and Todd actually may have with the paring back of the New York barn. May have gotten out ahead of things cleverly, because moving the horses down to Palm Beach Downs and setting up camp there, that seemingly could pay off. At least they get to continue to potentially have some spots. But we'll talk to Todd about Social Paranoia's very nice seasonal debut. I mean, that was a great way to kick off the four-year-old campaign. And he had, run races last year that, with that three-year-old to four-year-old development, absolutely, made him competitive on Saturday. And then he really kind of added a dimension to some degree, with that burst. And we'll talk to Todd about Social Paranoia. We'll talk about Governor Morris, who, ran evenly, and we'll get an update on the other Todd three-year-olds and how Todd's adjusting to circumstances and what are some of the plans. Middle hour today, John White, and we'll get John's Florida Derby thoughts and more. And Jeremy Plonk, too, countdown to the crown. So plenty of three-year-old recapping. And even though it looks as if we're going to be on hold for several weeks for three-year-old action, notably the Arkansas Derby. We'll get the snapshot for Derby watching as it stands, as if it was December, essentially, on the calendar, months out. Still have also some of the races that we did not. Actually we're pretty full up now, so maybe I'll save Grand Motion for tomorrow. Maybe we'll do that. But some of the other, Mean Mary, I want to talk about. I guess they're going to kind of pause a little bit and wait for the summer season. It was fun. A quick thanks from yesterday, if you're listening to the replay. The Barkley tag. It's so much fun. It's so different, here years later, where Barkley's just so comfortable now with, media, and just don't ask him how old he is. That's just a warning to everybody. That was fun. And I really didn't talk about the Hal's Hope. Maybe we'll bring it up with Todd as well today. But Gelfenstein and trainer Oscar Gonzalez with Identifier, who at 60-1. Was the day's big shocker. And the Identifier, which had been a Navarro trainee last year as a three-year-old, and was just a horse. It broke his maiden at five tries, and 80s, mid-80s buyers. He just was okay. He had run in the Hidden Scroll race. And then at the end of the year, Bernardo Lopez took over on him. And then Oscar Gonzalez. And Gonzalez has had a decent enough winner. He had eight wins coming into the day. But this was, a nice effort at the right time in a race that ultimately was collapsing, and Identifier was within striking distance, and Marco Meneses boots him home at 60-1, the Creative Cause Colt. Heinz Steinman actually bred him originally. So that was one race I hadn't mentioned yet. Let's take a break. Umberto Chavez kicks us off.
The latest racing news. It's At the Races with Steve Bick on Sirius XM Radio.
If you are racing two-year-olds in California, Kentucky, please consider Bleeder Shield. The leading all-natural paste used to greatly reduce or eliminate EIPH. The list of trainers who trust Bleeder Shield is endless. Shouldn't you join the team? To learn more, contact Joseph Vellante at 215-501-6880.
Learn the business of horses in the world's only accredited equine business program, the University of Louisville Equine Business Program. The University of Louisville has a legacy of excellence for more than 25 years of equine business education. Classes are taught by industry experts in state-of-the-art facilities located in the heartland of America's equine industry. The University of Louisville Equine Business Program. When it comes to horses, we mean business. For more information, visit business.louisville.edu/equine.
Here in Pennsylvania, we have the best breeding program in the country, thanks in part to our Racehorse Development Trust Fund. It's a trust, it's not tax dollars, and by law, our fund is completely protected. These are difficult days for all of us. When life in America gets back to normal, and it will, our PA breeding program will be here, stronger and better than ever. To learn more about how we're protecting the trust, go to PABred.com to watch a short video.
How's it going, Sue?
Hey!
Have you seen this commercial?
What career track are you on?
University of Arizona Racetrack Industry Program can prepare you for an exciting career in racing. Turn your passion into a paycheck.
Isn't that the horse racing school that Bob Baffert went to?
Yeah, Todd Pletcher, too, and lots of other major players in every area of the industry.
Really? Like what?
Well, for starters, we have graduates who are executives at Churchill Downs, NYRA, Darley America, Gulfstream, Keeneland, you name it. They're also regulators, racing officials, bloodstock agents, track announcers. My class had a job placement rate of almost 90%.
Wow, what other college program has results like that?
What career track are you on? The University of Arizona Racetrack Industry Program. Enroll today and get on track for success. Nearly 90% of our students are employed in the racing industry immediately upon graduation. For scholarship opportunities and more, check out our website at ua-rtip.org.
Now, back to At the Races with Steve Bick on SiriusXM Radio.
Back at the races, 20 minutes into hour one on this Tuesday. Hope everybody continues to manage and stay safe and keeping the family safe and entertained, too. Tina's busy looking, working on school work with kids and showing them all kinds of stuff. And I think people are, I think, having a greater appreciation for, as I said the other day, for the teachers and what they're doing. While you're at work and they're taking care of your kids, well, you also will have a better appreciation, I think, after this conversation with Chaplain Humberto Chavez. And I've known Humberto and Nick Karras and the team on the backstretch. You know, we get to spend the most time with them at Saratoga. And I got to start to know them when I was working, running the barbecue. And you see on a daily basis when you're, in amongst the racetrack community, all the different areas that a support team like the Racetrack Chaplaincy offers, and all the different things, and we think of a lot of it as helping people in need, but there's also beautiful moments and wonderful activities, and the rec center, and the movie nights, and the barbecues, and the soccer games, and all the things that provide for a pleasant experience, particularly during the summer. The backstretch workers love coming to Saratoga, and Humberto and his staff work tirelessly to keep them keep them active and healthy. And this circumstance back at Belmont is a new challenge, a different kind of challenge. But Humberto has met every one of the challenges since coming to the racetrack. And it's a pleasure to welcome Humberto Chavez. Humberto, good morning.
Morning, Steve. How are you?
We're good. Up here and waiting for word that Oklahoma is going to open sometime in the spring, and that people can start to gravitate again and some movement. But in the meantime, for you and for the backstretch community, a challenge unlike any that's come before.
It sure has been. And I have to excuse myself if you hear a lot of noise in the background. We were just dropping off a couple of food donations to our several workers who are quarantined outside of the racetrack. And I am heading back to my office, and my cargo van rattles a lot. So I apologize to you and your audience on if you hear that noise. But
not at all.
Yes,
not at all.
It's been a challenge, but something that, the horse racing industry, it's a really large and global family. And when there's a need in any particular area, whether it's Southern California or Australia, wherever it might be, I think us as a horse racing industry pulled together. And I've been very blessed and humbled by seeing all the support from every aspect.
Explain first, Humberto, just in the perfect scenario and without even having to deal with the added burdens of the pandemic, explain what the greatest demands are for the chaplaincy and for the best team.
So right now, obviously, masks and gloves are dire need. Right now, we're trying to keep a lot of our quarantine individuals supplied with food every 3 days. So our food pantry in particular has been in a real demand. And we could purchase so much, perfect day you would walk in or you could put a quarter in it into BJ's or Costco and you would have two skids that we would pick up and replenish our supply. But nowadays, the shortage everywhere, and the demand is large. We could do so much. So we're online waiting for shipments to come in so we could continue to replenish our food pantry on an everyday basis.
How many people does the pantry support, and what are the financial demands on either a weekly basis or however you want to quantify it?
So our food pantry gives about close to 100 essential bags to every week on Thursdays between 11 and 1. Obviously, that number has grown. There have been several, workers who have, either a husband or a wife who are back home quarantining, and they're unfortunately don't have the means to go to supermarkets and all that. Or mass transit, they're not looking at that. So our numbers have grown because of those individuals who need it. And then obviously we have, like I mentioned before, the individuals who are quarantined, which are, two dozen individuals that we service. Financially, our food pantry, we all depended on our food banks that we would get the free food from that we could give out. Unfortunately, those food banks either have been closed or are given very little. So us reaching out to agencies outside of those, the demand is for us to kind of purchase that food. So that's what we've been doing with the finances that we've been getting the support from the industry.
In addition, and I'm glad you brought up the quarantined individuals, and of course, the dorms are in a ongoing project on the backstretch, of course, upgrading and you know, basically the new apartment building style dormitories. You know, so everybody is in close quarters, and from that standpoint, are things, you know, medically, are health officials satisfied with, you know, with the way things are, you know, currently? Is there, you know, is there a higher degree of concern with, you know, with the, you know, the intimacy and you know, with how, you know, how everybody is arranged in terms of living accommodations?
I believe that, you know, NYRA itself, the best, Backstretch Employee Service team, who takes care of the clinic aspect and the medical aspect of the industry here in New York, has done everything that Department of Health has asked them to do. And I think there's been a plan that has been followed through this, from the state to our backstretch, and we're following their protocol on doing things. So we're doing everything by the book, or at least, you know, NYRA and the clinic aspect is doing everything by the book. So we haven't seen anything in the sense that has been alarming in those living quarters. I think they would be able to give you more information on that, but I, you know, our guys are very, you know, understand the dynamic of their living quarters, and they just have to, you know, live through it in a way, but they're good.
The children, let's also fold in what goes on at Anna House, and, you know, that part of it, you know, the kids still on a daily basis have to be looked after.
Correct. I believe the daycare has closed due to the situation, and then we have now parents who are either had to leave their job to take care of their children, and then we have parents who are paying for babysitting services during this time.
Well, of course, Anna House, one of the models for the rest of the country's backstretch communities in terms of a facility, and you know, one of the great successes, along with the Backside Learning Center at Churchill. Umberto Chavez is with us, and Umberto, how are the backstretch workers getting getting money home to family? Because, of course, you know, that's something that is a regular part of weekly activity, you know, sending home to, you know, to parents and children in native countries.
So we're blessed to be in Belmont, which it, right in front of Gate 6 at Belmont Park, there's an office that you could send money back home. So they kind of just walk across the street and come right back inside. We haven't seen an issue with that. So, you know, but if, you know, we were ever to shut down all the businesses down here, then we would have to, you know, start on plan B and start downloading a couple of apps so we could be of a service to our backstretch employees.
Very nice. Umberto, what's the overall mood? I mean, how is everybody handling you know, circumstances?
Anxiety levels are high. I cannot deny that, and I can't put that I can't emphasize on that. But we're trying to make the living, their situation that they're living in, and trying to make the best out of it, whether it's as of today, we have six kits of produce and soap and shampoo that we purchased. That just seeing that somebody's giving back, their morale kind of really goes up a bit. But yeah, anxieties are high. We're here to. It's been out of my 17, 16 years being here, this is a time that we've been able to minister and pray for people due to their anxiety levels.
You mentioned the 17 years. Tell everybody about how you came to the racetrack, because you basically kind of came on more or less to a higher, the proverbial higher calling.
It sure was. In a nutshell, this is God ordained. If you want to put something on paper, only God does these types of things. I had a very successful construction business prior to me coming into this, but just kind of God touched my heart, and he said, this is what you need to be doing. And I sold everything, and I in a situation, obviously, where there was a need, we filled it at the moment, and then that calling came after. And we've been here ever since. And listen, if we were to do it again, in a heartbeat, I will do it again.
Yeah, there's so many people, and I have been pointing out the work of the racetrack chaplaincy nationwide since being fortunate enough to get to know Salty Roberts, and it's hard to explain the passion and commitment of racetrack chaplaincies and those that have dedicated their lives to helping others. And it's helping others of all faiths, those without faith, all different kinds of people that make their way to the backstretch. And the racetrack is such a unique entity and such a catch-all in our society for people that in some cases have nowhere else to go, and administering to that kind of a flock, Umberto, takes a special love and really a special dedication.
It sure does. I think my first couple of years, I've understood Salty's heart. And it was not necessarily bring church to the backstretch, but bring and share God's love to every single individual in any and every single gamma of their lives, whether it's an owner, whether it's somebody who's at the shed row, or somebody who just won the or a jockey who just won the Belmont Stakes. We're here really for everybody, and Salty understood that, and I think in every chaplaincy across the nation, there's chaplains who understood Salty's vision back when his heart was captured in the early 70s. So, and that's what we continue on doing, just because we were called to share God's love.
I want you to take a minute to Umberto Chavez with us, the lead chaplain in New York. Acknowledge everybody that works with you, Umberto, if you would, from Nick and the girls and everybody that contributes to not just this effort, but the year in, year out, the year in and year out activities.
Oh, I can't thank you. My team and our board is amazing. Sometimes we, and I am far from getting these calls and being on platforms or anything. We like to do our work. If it's, behind the scenes, the most we could, just because we're doing the work and we're engaged with individuals, but without our board, who our new chairman this year, Terry Finley, has brought in so much different ideas. Our president, Ramon Dominguez, and all of our board from and our staff, which are my eyes and ears in every different aspect of the racing industry, from Nick Karras, who takes care of our recreation department and special programming, to our general manager, Karen, Lorena, who's our, receptionist, who, oh my goodness, her phone right now has been like off the hook. You know, she's amazing what she does with her phone and the computer and how to help these individuals that, and obviously, Alejandra, who's, has taken over, some of the distribution of the food at this time. And Christina, who's our, food pantry coordinator, who's a sweetheart and by all means loves on these people and would love to be here almost every single day, but due to her age, we try to keep her away. But that's our team, and our team is strong and staying strong. All I could say is keep praying for us, because we're out here every single day just making sure our folks here in the industry here in New York, our backstretch, are okay.
Well, and Umberto, how can people help for those on Long Island? Can they drop off, you know, non-perishables at Gate 6? Financially, if people want to donate, where do we direct them?
You could send them over if you just want to send a financial donation. Go to our website, rtcany.org. And if you have non-perishables, and I stress that, it needs to be non-perishables. You could come to Gate 6, and then they'll direct you where our offices are. And we're here from 10 to 4. And we're here just to make things better. And thank you for all the support.
Umberto, it's my pleasure, and we can't express enough appreciation for your work, and Nick and everybody that is looking out for the 600 backstretch employees, all concentrated right now at Belmont. That actually is kind of fortunate that everybody's at Belmont for now, and best wishes. If there's anything we can do, don't hesitate. And just God bless everybody, and good health, and we'll look forward to seeing you soon.
Thank you, Steve, and to all your audience, thank you so much for the support.
Umberto Chavez and the Racetrack Chaplaincy of New York, rtcany.org, and I'll send out links on Twitter, and if you're, you know, those of you that are in Nassau County and are mobile and you have perishables that can support the pantry, certainly a perfect time to give if that's an option. Otherwise, financial support will go a long way as well. And all we can look forward to is the summer and everybody over at the rec center during the summer, and movie nights and barbecues, and of course Mary Lou Whitney so instrumental in those activities, and she and John so generous to the chaplaincy, making those summer activities possible for years and years. We'll take a break here and come back and visit with Mike Lakow. And haven't had a chance to talk to Mike since the return to South Florida. And Lakow with a unique circumstance. And the horses that are staying in South Florida will offer the Gulfstream Racing Office the opportunity to, write some races that otherwise wouldn't necessarily fill beyond April 1st, and might also have some additional challenge to keeping the turf courses in good shape, because I'm sure there's tons of turf runners that are looking for spots. We'll talk to Mike Lakow when we come back later. John White, Jeremy Plonk, Andy Serling, Todd Pletcher. At the Races, Sirius XM, back after this.
The latest racing news. It's At the Races with Steve Bick on Sirius XM Radio.
Developed by Horsemen, horsebills.com is a cost-effective, time-saving, environment-friendly, paperless revolution of how equine industries bill and receive payments. Vendors are able to generate electronic invoices for each horse, whose owners can pay through the same website with just one click. Say goodbye to stacks of invoices, handwritten checks, and postage costs. Easy accounting for all parties with the highest online security measures. Get started free at horsebills.com. Simply register with your name and email address. Free to sign up. No subscription fees to vendors until the first invoice is sent. For owners, you get a free account, comprehensive dashboard with information on all horses owned and billing records, ACH and credit card payment options. For vendors, generate invoices efficiently and receive payments quickly from both owners and other vendors. Syndicate and partnership managers get flexible billing and payment options to both vendors and syndicate members. For more info, call 888-938-4643, 888-938-4643, or log on to horsebills.com. That's horsebills.com.
Get started in Kentucky. Over $8 million in additional purse money is available at the five Kentucky tracks for horses eligible for the Kentucky Thoroughbred Development Fund. Kentucky is a good place to race your Kentucky bred. Come home to Kentucky and make a start.
DRF Sports Forum Digital Edition, your ultimate weekly betting guide. Published by Daily Racing Form, DRF Sports Forum delivers all of the analysis and insight you need for every NFL game and more than 40 college football matchups. Beat the spread with powerful trends and sharp angles. Tap into best bets, expert picks, parlay winners, and more. All for just $4.99 per issue. Get this week's edition free. Visit drf.com/sportsforum. Enter code DRF Sports.
University of Arizona Racetrack Industry Program can prepare you for an exciting career in racing. Turn your passion into a paycheck. Nearly 90% of our students are employed in the racing industry immediately upon graduation. What career track are you on? The University of Arizona Racetrack Industry Program. Enroll today and get on track for success. For scholarship opportunities and more, check out our website at ua-rtip.org.
Why is accreditation important in aftercare? The Thoroughbred Aftercare Alliance's standard of accreditation and grant process provide donors with confidence that their contributions are allocated in the most effective manner. TAA accreditation is only awarded after a complete review of an organization. Aftercare cannot be an afterthought for the industry. To learn more or support the TAA's mission, visit thoroughbredaftercare.org.
Breaking down the biggest stories in the world of horse racing. This is At the Races with Steve Bick on Sirius XM Radio.
The Bats. Future me hates me. So great. I want to thank Umberto. And just, I just got the nicest text from Gary Siaka and horses working out. Gary over by the training track, and Gary just saying, what a great guy. Umberto is. It's funny. He texted and he said he's a. There was a misspelling or a typo, and Gary wrote he's a God guy, and then he wrote back good guy, and I said not just a good guy. He is a God guy. Thanks to Chaplain Chavez, and thanks to Mike Lakow, who joins us now from South Florida, where the situation. The normal winter season came to an end over the weekend, and there was real uncertainty about running beyond Saturday. But knock on wood, it's providing everybody some goals and targets and opportunities. Mike, good morning, first of all.
Good morning, Steve.
Mike, everybody safe, healthy, family? And
Good. Yeah, everybody's good. I want to say something. I do agree with Gary Siaka. Umberto's tremendous, and I don't agree with Gary on many things. Maybe maybe the chaplain, maybe his wine ticks, but besides that, I do have to say that Umberto is unbelievable. He's tremendous.
Somebody who came to the racetrack in a kind of inadvertently, and you know, I think back to our barbecue at Saratoga, and you know, we would on a daily basis, anything left over we would give to Nick Karras, and Nick would bring it over for dinner hour, and I just, you watch them work, and you watch the. You watch the backstretch workers in the mornings and then in the afternoon come over to do things on the racetrack and take on responsibilities, and then grab rakes in the afternoon, Mike, and rake the place up and then go.
No, they're totally committed and incredibly passionate, like most racetrack people.
Exactly, exactly. We're in such a unique situation, and for you, Mike, having horses that normally would have gone back to Kentucky and the Mid-Atlantic and to New York and so forth, they're going to basically shelter in place at Palmetto's and Gulfstream and Payson Park and Palm Beach Downs. How are you gonna take advantage of this? And you know, what conversations have there been about dealing with it in a condition book that has more horses available to them than normal?
Well, that's certainly a good thing. You know, every racetrack struggles with entries, and we had our bad days throughout the winter meet, but. But all in all, we had a very good meet. We decided to, this meet, develop horses and make it our goal, and that helps the industry. You know, we were using maiden races more often, even if they were smaller fields. Because to develop horses and then have them go on to Kentucky or New York, it's our job, I feel, Gulfstream Park. To develop those horses, so when they come back again the following year, they're allowance horses, stake horses. We don't have as many cheap horses as we had in the past, which kept field size down a little bit. We ran less races this year, and I'm looking at the numbers. We actually averaged the exact same number of horses per field size as last year, but we ran less races, so we're not going to stick our chests out about that. But what we are comfortable with is the quality of the racing that we presented this year. I thought it was very strong.
And it was consistent. And when you talk about less races, I mean, frankly, that's welcome. The overkill and the, you know, having the, you know, the enormous cards, particularly on the weekends, it is. It's a drain on everybody, and including the horse player. I mean, there's just a certain, you know, there's an elasticity at a certain point that it becomes too much.
No, I agree, and you know, and I'm not a greedy person, but for Florida Derby Day, we decided to move three stakes that were scheduled for the day before for Friday onto Saturday. And with that, the condition book wasn't written with those races. So we had a couple maiden races, an allowance race, which we didn't use. And I'm thinking, okay, now do we look greedy and run 15 races on Florida Derby Day or just stick with the 14, which is still a lot of races? And we stuck with the 14, and it was a spectacular day. And we used those main specials the following day. And we did very well on Sunday. So all in all, it was a good meet. I think the horsemen were content. We weren't leaving any top horses out of picture.
How will you manage the extra population and you know, versus, you know, what had been the anticipated kind of schedule and kind of races that, you know, we're used to post Florida Derby?
Well, Steve, we have extra horses, but we're not taking horses that would have come from other areas. So we have the same horses. You know, the condition book was written without using 3-4 allowance races a day. I think it's a small book. It was going to be a 4-week book. We made a 3-week book, only 4 days a week racing. We'll adjust after the next few weeks. We just want to keep moving forward, and you know, hopefully everything seems to come in order. And the horsemen, I'll tell you, the horsemen have been so cooperative. I'm so impressed. You know, it's a stressful business for owners, trainers, jockeys. The horsemen are right on target. They're part of our team, and they understand the issues, and they're cooperating beyond belief. So with that said, maybe the next book we will write a couple more allowance races, and we always listen to the horsemen. If they call and say, I'm in trouble with this horse or that horse, we try to get races to fill and make sure their owners are making some money, and that's our goal.
You know, looking ahead, for instance, to Thursday when racing resumes, and you see that fourth race, Mike, it's a mile turf maiden special, 45,000. And, you know, you look at that and it feels like that's a race that while it may have gone, it you know, this is like a midwinter maiden special weight.
Well, look, I'm looking at it myself, and we have Chad Brown, Cherie DeVoe, Todd Pletcher, Chris Clement, Michael Matz, another Chad, McPeak, Wilkes, McGahee, Toner, Matz, also eligible, Keneally, Brian Lynch, Wesley Ward. I mean, that's a Saratoga race.
Yeah, that, and then the main track Philly long on the dirt race goes as the seventh as well, and that's got what is obviously holdovers, and so, you know, I think you know, people that have a tendency to assume that after the Florida Derby, you know, the racing is going to fall off, and it's. Not as attractive. If this is going to be the kind of cards that are going to stay on here for the next foreseeable future, really, I mean, you got to assume, Mike, that this is going to go until May at the least.
Well, I can't make any assumptions. You know, we're taking it day by day. Last week, we're taking about hour by hour.
So
exactly. We really, you know, look, we keep our heads down and we're doing the best we can for the horsemen, and certainly for the Stronach group as well.
Yeah. How much was there as much uncertainty as the public was making out, or was there really never an issue about continuing on with racing?
There was not an issue. They were following all the codes, guidelines, health issues. We have very, very strict protocols. However, yeah, there was uncertainty. I mean, I wasn't sure. I would get calls all day. Are you racing tomorrow? Are you racing? Are you going to finish the card today? And, you know, I try not to give bad information, but I say, I really don't know. We're doing everything we can. It's safe here. And I'll tell you one thing that was a bit uncomfortable. Florida Derby Day, Manny Franco wins the Florida Derby, gets off the horse, no one there. Just no one there. We didn't even have a win photo. We want to keep everybody apart from each other. So I walked up to him about 7 feet, 8 feet away from him. I said, Manny, I'm really sorry. There should be cheering and congratulations. And he put his head down. He said, I know, I get it. But it was just, it was surreal, to say the least.
No doubt. It's the most different environment that anybody's ever seen. I mean, the coverage, that part of it was pretty crazy too. I mean, considering that, you know, there was more TV exposure, Mike, on Saturday than there would have been otherwise.
Yeah, no doubt about it. And, you know, another thing of which a protocol we put into place, we were not allowing new jockeys here. And, you know, I got some calls from key players. And we said, you know, once we open that up, we don't want to have 100 jockeys on the grounds. You know, we just, whoever's riding here, that's it. And, you know, people were upset, but, again, we're above and beyond to keep Gulfstream Park safe.
It's going to be a real luxury. I mean, that's already apparent that you're continuing on, and Tampa as well, scheduled until May 2nd or 3rd, the Derby weekend per se.
Right,
Mike. From a standpoint without this situation involved, talk about how this ended up, you know, working out beautifully for you. And you've had, you know, we joked along the way over the years, whether it was the job with TRF and with John Secura and then back to Calder and you know, all the stops along the way. It's been really an amazing odyssey for you.
Yeah, I've been so fortunate. It seems as though when something ends, something even better starts. I had the opportunity to basically learn all aspects of the industry, from aftercare to jockey agent. I was Javier Castellanos' agent for a little bit less than 2 years. He fired me. I think that saved my life, though. It was too stressful for me. I mean, look, this is stress. Racing secretary at Saratoga is incredibly stressful. Racing secretary at Aqueduct during periods where we had one and twos in every race at 3 o'clock in the afternoon and we had to present a card. That's stressful. But I put in my time. I am so fortunate. My home is in Florida, and I met my wife 40 years ago when I was working in Hialeah and Gulfstream, and now we're back, and I couldn't ask for anything more for myself and my family.
Well, and that was a big part of it, the opportunity to, you know, to return home and be with you know, be with your wife, you know, full time, and you know, racetrack management and racetrack life is itinerant, and that, you know, that's not unusual. But when an opportunity arises, and really now with Billy Badgett actually coming back over after leaving Gulfstream, it really feels like there's a stability that, you know, that's present right now at Gulfstream, and it came at a perfect time.
Yeah, I'm so fortunate again to have Billy, because he's a horseman, and in management, to have horsemen understand the issues is extremely satisfying to me. And once Billy came back, my phone is ringing less; his phone is ringing more. But it's all good. And again, you know, Gulfstream Park is a great place to race. I enjoy the horsemen. I certainly enjoy the weather, and I'm very lucky.
Well, they're lucky to have you, and it's a situation that is fluid, and you're a perfect hand on the wheel to, you know, to adjust, and anything to communicate out to stakeholders and anything that you want everybody to know?
Well, yeah. I mean, as far as horse safety and welfare, we're doing our best to take care of everybody. We have one of the top track superintendents in the country. This is one place where the horsemen have not complained about the surfaces, which amazes me. Going back to the Fountain of Youth and the Florida Derby, Eric Friedman's the stakes coordinator. He's exceptional. And I'm very fortunate to have a great staff working with me. And for everybody in the country, just follow Gulfstream, because right now we're trying to present the best races with the best quality, and hopefully we keep going.
Well, it's a lifeline right now for countless sets of connections and owners and horse players too, obviously. And Mike, congratulations on a great winter, and just the fact that you're even available to have a spring is a welcome distraction and greatly appreciated. Good luck this spring, and I'll see you somewhere along the line.
I appreciate it, Steve. And also, I got to commend you. You're great for the industry as well. You do a fantastic job, and you're one of the personalities that everybody enjoys listening to.
Very kind. Mike Lakow, everybody, and the long time. You can't just say racing official, because there's nothing that Mike hasn't done over the years. And he came in and helped TRF when they were under a undeserved spotlight, and was instrumental in seeing them through a rocky go. And there's nothing that Mike hasn't been available for the industry to improve, and very, very fortunate that the way things have kind of worked out. And there he is back at South Florida after a long and winding road. We'll take a time. Oh, there you go. I didn't realize you're still there.
But, no, I'm sure. Okay. Well, I let you go on.
I appreciate it. Okay. Michael, you know, I'm going to tell everybody they can follow you on Twitter, but I don't see where you do any tweeting.
You know what? Social media is not my style. I'm on it. I just don't send anything. But I'm reading everything. But I'm scared one time I'll post the wrong thing, and then I'll regret it for the rest of my life. So I just sit tight.
We'll give everybody a link to Mike and on today's show listings. Mike Lakow, everybody. Mike, thanks a lot.
All right, thanks, Steve. Appreciate it.
We'll take a break here, and when we come back, John White's going to join us, and John obviously would love to be telling you who he was going to make favorite for the Santa Anita Derby. We'll hold out hope until we can't that Saturday is going to happen, but it doesn't look good. So we'll talk to John about Florida Derby and what his view was. Jeremy Pont too in this hour. Then Andy Serling and Todd Bletcher. Back after this.
The latest racing news. It's At The Races with Steve Bick on Sirius XM Radio.
If you are racing two-year-olds in California, Kentucky, please consider Bleeder Shield. The leading all-natural paste used to greatly reduce or eliminate EIPH. The list of trainers who trust Bleeder Shield is endless. Shouldn't you join the team? To learn more, contact Joseph Vellante at 215-501-6880.
Learn the business of horses in the world's only accredited equine business program, the University of Louisville Equine Business Program. The University of Louisville has a legacy of excellence for more than 25 years of equine business education. Classes are taught by industry experts in state-of-the-art facilities located in the heartland of America's equine industry. The University of Louisville Equine Business Program. When it comes to horses, we mean business. For more information, visit business.louisville.edu/equine.
Here in Pennsylvania, we have the best breeding program in the country, thanks in part to our Racehorse Development Trust Fund. It's a trust, it's not tax dollars, and by law, our fund is completely protected. These are difficult days for all of us. When life in America gets back to normal, and it will, our PA breeding program will be here, stronger and better than ever. To learn more about how we're protecting the trust, go to PABred.com to watch a short video.
How's it going, Sue?
Hey!
Have you seen this commercial?
What career track are you on?
University of Arizona Racetrack Industry Program can prepare you for an exciting career in racing. Turn your passion into a paycheck.
Isn't that the horse racing school that Bob Baffert went to?
Yeah, Todd Fletcher, too, and lots of other major players in every area of the industry.
Really? Like what?
Well, for starters, we have graduates who are executives at Churchill Downs, NYRA, Darley America, Gulfstream, Keeneland, you name it. They're also regulators, racing officials, bloodstock agents, track announcers,
My class had a job placement rate of almost 90%.
Wow. What other college program has results like that?
What career track are you on? The University of Arizona Racetrack Industry Program. Enroll today and get on track for success. Nearly 90% of our students are employed in the racing industry immediately upon graduation. For scholarship opportunities and more, check out our website at ua-rtip.org.
Sirius XM.